Okay, David, maybe we can start this for a minute. So, good morning and welcome to our 9 months 2021 earning result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Capital Market Officer of Grenergy. And here I have with me David Ruiz, our CEO and Chairman of the company, and Maria Rodriguez Gismeros, that is our Sustainability Director. As always, you know, at the end, there will be a Q&A session. I will let you know to our sell side analyst how you can ask those questions. So now I hand you over to David.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel, and good morning, everyone. And once again, many thanks for attending. We have structured the call to allow for a Q&A session after the presentation, so we'll try to take no more than maybe 35 minutes of your time. And this presentation, as every quarter, and the full report have been uploaded this morning, both to CMMV's site and on our web. And as we have been doing in recent presentations, I'm going to start looking at the highlights of the period. After that, Daniel Lozano, our head of capital markets, will be presenting the financial results in more detail. I will then pop in again to walk you through the status of our pipeline. And this time, I think we will be presenting two very important points. On one side, I will introduce our guidance our estimation of delivery for 2024. Traditionally, we have been updating our guidance in this quarter, and this year is no exception. And then for the first time, and this is a very important milestone for us, we will introduce and share with you our strategy concerning storage, and we will disclose our pipeline of battery projects for the first time. Maria Rodriguez, our Sustainability Director, will wrap up providing an update on the progress of our ESG Action Plan 2021. And we'll be presenting very interesting news concerning ESG ratings. So let's get started with the key highlights of the period. We are moving to page number 2 of the presentation. We have achieved a net profit of 7 million euros, EBITDA of 18 million euros for the first 9 months of the period, and revenues of 150 million euros. This is 80% more than versus 2020. It's quite important to outline the split of those revenues and EBITDA. The 34 million euros are coming from our build to sell division. We are achieving a gross margin of 12.5 million. This is close to 40%. So we remain having very consistent margins on this division. We are getting slightly more than 100 million, 101 million from our build to own division. This is showing our very strong investment in CapEx. And as you know, due to IFRS, we don't show any margins on these sales. And 30 million euros are coming from our energy sales. We are getting a gross margin of 9 million euros. This is 70%. And we are getting also 1.8 revenues from our services division. All the build-to-own activity relates to new CapEx, mainly Scudero's plan, which, as you know, has been recently connected, and will start showing EBITDA as soon as this quarter. No new build-to-sell deals have been closed this quarter, and this is compared to the same quarter last year, where we made important transfers in the same period. Well, we are expecting strong build-to-sell activity in Q4 and increased energy sales. So we can say that this is kind of a transition period, a transition quarter, where we have been investing quite heavily in CapEx, but we have not really transferred any new plans to third parties. Going to operational execution, Well, we if you remember, we updated this only 2 months ago, so no big changes. 6.3 gigawatts. This is our total pipeline. We have already 420 megawatts operational, 267 under construction, backlog close to 800. This is offering and giving strong visibility on the target of 800 for 2022. 2.6 gigawatts advanced development. Many of these plans will move very soon, even next quarter, into backlog. And I think this is giving a lot of visibility on our targets for 2023 and 2024. And we are very active in PPA negotiations. As I would say, once again, we believe that the worst is kind of over in the supply chain, let's say, crisis, right? And the hot topic of CapEx. So I think we have some stability and we believe it's time to resume and start announcing PPAs once again. And we have a very important roadmap of PPA announcements in Q1 2022 with very advanced negotiations in place in all our main markets, Spain, Chile, and Colombia. Well, we have a strong focus on ESG, as you know, and we continue to make progress on the targets of our 2021 action plan. As you know, it's connected to our three-year strategy, what we call ESG Roadmap 2023. And, well, Maria will comment on the specific targets scheduled for Q3. We also announced in previous presentations coverage by MSCI ESG ratings. And, well, I'm very glad to inform that the first part of the assessment covering corporate governance was completed and published by MSCI, and Greenergy received a 8.5 out of 10 score. And this is a very good result that has positioned Greenergy in the highest ranking relative to global peers. And finally, Maria will present improvements the team made to our corporate website to include more information on sustainability, new data, related procedures, and a very transparent approach to ESG material aspects like climate change, biodiversity, local communities, and human capital. So thank you, and I give the floor to Daniel for the financials.
Okay, thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial part. So if you look at slide 5, you will see that our total revenue reached 150 million euros. That is 82% increase year on year, mainly because of DNC figures that reached 135.8 million euros and came, as David said, both by the facilities sold during the period, 55 megawatt to third parties, and the related income produced by the construction of our own facilities, but that is not producing margins. Then we have the energy sales, 12.8 million euros, that is produced by the operating facilities, mainly the Chilean Quillagua solar PV project, the Mexican San Miguel de Allende as well, 35 megawatt project, and the wind projects, Costen and Duna Wambos, compared with no sales in previous year. Service division as well increased 36% the revenue year on year, mainly because we are assuming more solar PV plants in the service portfolio that we are assuming the operation and maintenance and asset management. Escudero's solar PV project that was connected at the end of Q3 is producing energy sales during Q4 2021. Okay, if you move to slide number 6, total EBITDA reached 18.2 million euros, roughly in line with previous period. The split is different. We have had €9 million of EBITDA coming from the energy sales of our operating facilities, and the €12.6 million coming from the build to sell division. This EBITDA is not linear. We are expecting to have more sales in the last quarter in order to arrive to the targeted range of minimum 100 megawatt of sales in the period. And now, if you can look at slide number 7, Grenergy invested €140 million in solar PV and wind projects within the period, mainly Escuderos, €90.3 million, and the distribution project, PMGDs, and distribution project in Colombia, €18.8 million. Then some remaining capex coming from the wind projects, Costen and Duna Wambos, and development capex, €15 million. That is the investment we need to assume in order to have the pipeline progressing and arrive to the ready-to-build phase. If you move to slide number 8, that is the evolution of our cash position. We started the year with €21 million, with €18.2 million of EBITDA within the period. Has it been negatively affected by operating working capital, 9.4, some taxes and finance expense cash out, 6.2, some non-cash exchange difference, €7 million negative, that is mainly affected by our accountancy differences from the dollars treasury. We have had €140 million growth capex, as previously explained. Short-term liquid investment that we have produced within the period, €19.1 million. Those short-term investment are mainly done in order to reduce the financial expenses that we need to assume for having treasury sold in the bank. So we are moving that cash into a very liquid investment, less than 48-hour liquid investment, so we don't have to assume those expenses. Then we have invested in share buyback program in order to have some treasury shares, €3.5 million. And the way it has been financed has been through a share capital increase that we made at the beginning of the year, €105 million. And then some disbursement coming from the project financing of the project under construction, €73.9 million. That is still, we have more disbursement expected to come in the last quarter that we are not requesting in order not to have financial expenses related with that, and we will ask as soon as we need it. Some other investment, and then we have the final cash position of €28.4 million at the end of the period. Finally, if we move to slide number 9, you will see that our total leverage increased to 7.6 times compared with previous period that we had 4.4 times. I would like to say that this increase is mainly produced as we are having the we are assuming more debt, mainly because of the growth capex that we need to assume in order to have the operating capacity in place. But that operating capacity, mainly Escuderos and the PMGD and distribution projects that we are connecting and under construction, is not producing EBITDA. That's why our leverage has increased to 7.6 times. In a run rate, EBITDA of that producing facilities, our leverage should decrease to around 5 times. So then now I'm going to hand you back again to David so he can explain the pipeline, our strategy update.
Thank you, Daniel. So moving to the pipeline and slide 11. Well, there are now, as I stated before, no big changes from our last presentation, which was made only 2 months ago. 6.3 gigawatts total pipeline. And well, as you can see from bottom to top, we can see now close to, well, 420 in operation, close to 270 under construction, and close to 800 backlog. Altogether, 1.5 gigawatts, considering the three categories. This is giving visibility project by project in on our 1.5 gigawatts target for 2022. We remain with 2.6 gigawatts in advanced development and 2.6 gigawatts early stage. And I think it's a very consistent base of projects to give visibility on our 2023 and 2024 targets. Well, moving to page 12, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide. You know, we update every quarter. Just look at how we are progressing in the UK, approaching 0.5 gigawatts. We are surpassing this milestone of 0.5 gigawatts of solar in Colombia. And in Italy, we are reaching 400. We are now 365 megawatts. Those are very strategic markets for us, for the future. In pages, slides 13 and 14, we give the split of projects in every category, right? And well, in advanced development, project by project, some of these projects will move to backlog quite soon. And we will give more visibility on our project by project targets for 2023. Moving to page 16, I think it's maybe the most important slide in this presentation, right? As you know, we started the year with 200 megawatts operational, all built during 2020. We were aiming to reach 660 this year. We are not going to make it, right? Some delays due to supply chain and logistics will move part of these projects to Q1. We are now expecting to reach 600. And this is really after a huge effort and a great challenge concerning supply of panels, main components, and logistics. As I stated in the beginning of the presentation, we believe that the worst is over, right? We are now looking at some positive trends. I mean, some logistics costs from China to Europe are already going down. We are still at very high prices from between China and Latin America, but we are expecting that after Christmas and Chinese New Year, the price for logistics will steadily going down in the next quarters. We are reiterating our guidance for 2022 and in particular 800 megawatts. Around half of this will come from Spain and the other half will come from Chile and Colombia, right? And executions will be concentrated more in the second half of the year, right? We are also expecting some slightly relaxation of CapEx for second semester, right? Moving to slide 17, we will be back to 16 now in a while. This is you can see our operational targets for 2022. And in Spain, we now have three plants. Well, Belinchón is very close to ready to build. We will be announcing we'll be mandating the bank for project financing very soon. And we will also start construction very, very soon for this 150 megawatts plant. We announced the PPA last quarter. We will be announcing quite soon new PPAs. We still believe PPAs are the way forward, right? So we will be announcing PPAs for Tabernas 300 megawatt plant and maybe a Jora plant in Valencia quite soon. We are in any case expecting to get the DIAs, the environmental permits before April. And this is Spain. In Colombia, we are now targeting a new package of around 100 megawatts of distribution projects, right? Remember, we are now building and delivering the first package of 72 megawatts, where we close a PPA with Celsia in the country for 15 years, right? We are now negotiating a second PPA for our in this market. And well, Chile is business as usual for us. We are now targeting quite a large plant. Will be our second utility scale plant in the country. The first one, if you remember, was delivered in 2020 in Atacama Desert. We are now targeting a large plant in close to Santiago for next year, of more than 200 megawatts. And also a new package of PMGD distribution projects that we are also mandating the banks quite soon. Back to slide 16, we are reiterating our target of 1 gigawatt for 2023, and we are disclosing a target of 1.1 gigawatts for 2024. And this is, we really want to reach to a, let's call it, cruising speed of above 1 gigawatt per year. We know it's challenging, right? But I think that the company is ready financially speaking, and our EPC teams are ready for this challenge. We have been working quite a lot to reach this point. Just keep in mind that this year alone, between build to own and build to sell, I think we will be delivering more than half gigawatt already. And this is considering so many small projects in Chile and Colombia, which is a lot more challenging, right? In 2022 and 2023, we will keep building distribution projects, but the bulk of our activity will come from large projects in Spain and Chile, which are definitely much, much easier. And 2024, well, if you look at 2024, at the end of 2024, more than 50% of our IPP and energy generation activity will be coming from Europe versus LATAM. And well, just keep in mind that 100% of our energy sales are now still this year coming from our plants in Latin America. At the end of 2024, we would have rebalanced completely this generation profile, and more than 50% of our energy sales will be coming from Europe. Energy storage, right? As we stated at the beginning of the presentation, it's a very important, it's a big moment for us, an important milestone. Energy storage is we have no doubt the necessary breakthrough for renewable assets to do energy management and dispatching, and definitely to drive a greater penetration of clean energy into the grids. Regarding the integration of energy storage with renewable assets, we believe that it's really time for a business transformation, including energy storage functionalities in our core business. So we have been working very hard, as you know. We recruited Javier Espelta, our new head of storage, and I think it's great to have him on board, and we have been working with the rest of the team quite heavily in the last few months to build our strategy and deliver this strategy that we are now sharing with you. At the end of the day, we want to include energy storage functionalities in our core business, right? And we want to start delivering our results as early as 2024, but we believe 2025 will be the big year concerning storage. And we see some key factors. We are, as you can see in this slide, we are currently witnessing a steady annual growth in installed energy storage capacity. We are experiencing a growth forecast of minimum 30% per year until 2030. So it's really happening, and this trend is accelerating. The LCOS, it's what we say, LCOE in generation, LC, levelized cost of storage, is still a very high value. So I would say between 70, 90, but just let's remember that in the early days in PV, we were delivering energy of even 500 euros or 440 for 10 euros per megawatt hour. So it's, it's now a very clear decreasing trend. And we're very sure that it will continue to drop below levels of even 50 euros per megawatt hour, before the end of this decade, and reducing the cost of generation, improving the efficiency of the systems, and reducing the CapEx will be the key points to get this, right? CapEx reduction for large-scale systems has been effective in recent years. We are now getting offers from manufacturers below, let's say, 250K per kilowatt hour as early as Q3 this year. And we are looking at a lower, as we can see in this graph, an indicative price ranges well below 200 as early as 2024. Batteries are going to be necessary to facilitate the penetration and increase of renewable energy worldwide. A very strong industry is being created to supply the future demand for capacity that can be coupled with renewable assets. And the fall in CapEx is really significant. And we are working to get subsidies and funds mechanisms which could help to reduce that CapEx and enable the transition to achieve global decarbonization, right? Looking at the main markets where green energy is prioritizing the energy storage business, in our case is Spain, Chile, and the UK. Our main objective is to be positioned as a reference company in renewable energies assets that incorporate energy storage blocks, at least in these three markets. In Spain is our home country, I would say, together with Chile. It has the greatest potential for reducing the LCOS in Europe due to solar resource. And the development of new energy markets will help with the great penetration of storage facilities. We are expecting no less than 5 gigawatts of battery storage new installations before the end of the decade, before 2030. And the market is new at present, but will require further regulatory development for the network. But we're quite optimistic about with Spain. Chile will also be the most important market in Latin America, and the LCOS is also expected to be one of the lowest, if not the lowest, worldwide. The most representative large-scale facilities in Chile will gradually incorporate energy storage, and we are all working on this. And an energy market of at least 5 gigawatts is forecasted in Chile by 2030. Some technical issues remain to be resolved at the node and transmission level, and we're very sure that batteries can provide a very good solution to the congestion that is already running in some parts of the country. Moving to the UK, the UK energy market is the most advanced and representative in Europe. It has several advanced energy markets, such as the DC, the dynamic containment, distillation of large standalone systems has been promoted, and they are already solving problems at nodal level for congestions. and an operating battery power of close to 10 gigawatts is expected in this market. So a very interesting outlook in these three markets, and the key factors to be addressed are, as we show in this slide, are CapEx, operating costs, and the existence of energy markets like wholesale markets, balanced market, capacity market, and the objective at the end of the day is making sure that in, as soon as early as 2025, this is a very this is part of our core business, and we are delivering internal rate of returns which could be compared, if not higher, to our more mature PV generation. For the first time, we are disclosing, and this is our pipeline of storage projects, right? We have been working quite hard in the last year. In most cases, we are developing storage next to our large PV plants, right? In this first phase, we are prioritizing our most important markets in Chile, Spain, and the UK. But this is really going to happen everywhere. I mean, we're also working on storage pipelines in Italy, Colombia, and the rest of the countries where we are positioned, right? So far, we have 27 storage projects that we are working on. 14 of them are in Chile, in large scale and PMGDs. In Spain, we are basically converting all our large scale projects. And in the UK, we have three medium scale projects, and it's the first market where we have standalone projects, right? And that's something new for us. We have a total amount of energy storage projects of 1 gigawatt, slightly more than 1 gigawatt, and the total amount of energy is more than 4 gigawatts, is 4.20 gigawatt hours, right? So our strategy it's to compose this pipeline is, well, co-location of renewal, sharing of the point of interconnection in many cases. We're looking at other technologies, but so far we are relying on lithium-ion technology in markets. We're considering on average 5 hours in Chile, 1-2 hours in the UK, and 4 hours of storage in Spain. And we're closely looking at local regulation and permitting market by market. So it's a big moment for us. We will keep updating the evolution of our pipeline. And in markets like Spain, we are now working very hard, and we mandated, and we are working very closely with KPMG. To make sure we are ready for all tenders for the next generation funds, which we believe it will be a very important driver for storage in a market like Spain. So we are happy to discuss in more detail in the Q&A session. So thank you, and I give the floor to Maria on ESG.
Thank you very much, David. So as you might remember, at the beginning of the year, we presented you all with our ESG Action Plan 2021, and we committed to update on its progress on every quarterly presentation. So once again, we are providing information about the actions taken to meet the targets that we scheduled for the third quarter. At the right side of the slide, you can see that, and on the left, you can see the current status of the full plan. So first, the team has been working to put together a procurement policy aimed at ensuring fair competition and increased transparency in connection with the business ethics codes and the crime prevention protocol that the company has in place. The policy makes also specific reference to unacceptable behaviors related to bribery and corruption during the procurement process. And one step further is the formal incorporation of ethics, environmental, and social aspects as criteria to be included in the decision-making process for procurement. Finally, the policy addressed the need for suppliers and subcontractors to adhere and to accept our supplier ethics code, as well as the company human rights policy. At the moment, the procurement policy has been approved at the sustainability committee level and is currently under review by the board. To meet the second target for Q3, The company has elaborated ESG communication plan, where we define the communication strategy that we are going to follow for each of our stakeholder groups, like investors, local communities, employees, suppliers. And we include here the key messages of interest for each group, as well as the most appropriate communication channels. So one of the actions that was foreseen at the plan was the expansion of the corporate website to improve the disclosure of sustainability aspects. And I will let you know just very briefly a bit more about this in a separate slide. So moving to the next slide, and as David mentioned before, we're very glad to be covered by MSCI for the first time. MSCI communicated to us that the first part of their assessment had been completed. This covers corporate governance, and the score we obtained is 8.5 out of 10. But this is an unsolicited rating. It's based only on publicly available information. So some of the aspects recognized by MSCI at their assessment was, you know, things like the diverse and engaged board structure that we have, that includes, as you know, 50% of female representation. It was also recognized the presence of financial industry and risk management expertise. That was something also valued by the agency, along with other aspects such as the pay practices of the board executives. So MSCI considers that the corporate governance practices of energy are generally well aligned with shareholder interests. And when compared with peers globally, the score ranks Grenergy in the highest scoring range. And at the last slide, and just to conclude my part of the presentation, I would encourage you all to visit our website as we expanded the contents related to sustainability. We now include information about our approach to material ESG aspects like biodiversity, climate change, local communities and human capital, as David mentioned before. We provide relevant data and information about also the main initiatives, related policies, procedures, and also links to other resources. We will progressively be updating and expanding further this part of the website, as you know, we aim always at continuous improvement at our of our sustainability disclosure. And that will be all on my side, David. Thanks so much.
Thanks, you. Thank you, Maria. So I think we can move to Q&A anytime. Thank you.
Okay, so if any question, please send a direct message to the administrator. Please, Iñaki, give the floor to Fernando García, RBC.
Can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Hello, Fernando.
I was not sure. Yeah. It was a strange message in my mobile. So so thank you for the presentation, Daniel, David, Maria. I have a couple of questions. First on batteries, no? If you can provide a little bit of your business model there, no? When you were, David was saying that you are putting adjacent to your solar PV plant, looks like you are trying to avoid price cannibalization there, but maybe you also expect some revenues, for example, from ancillary services. So you can provide a little bit of details, no? You can provide as well, what are your expectations in terms of returns? Obviously, there, I think that next generation funds could play a role, at least in the beginning. But what are your expectations there, no? And maybe a little bit as well about deployment, no? So if you expect to put something probably more 2024, 2025, so when do you think that you can put this, let's say, storage capacity, no? And then second question is regarding CapEx. So I think that in first half results, my take was that you were expecting somehow a 10% increase in CapEx versus the beginning of the year. So my question there will be, are you expecting the same or something higher? And if you can provide a little bit of color, where are the increases And what are your expectations of the evolution of CapEx in the next quarters? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Fernando. So going to your question about batteries and the business model. I mean, the business model of batteries is quite clear now, I think, but many of the inputs in terms of economics are still missing, right? I mean, we obviously need to generate some revenues from the arbitration, right? From the trading of energy. This is very clear in countries like Chile, where the prices of merchant a day are much lower than at the peak hour at night. So you can definitely get some revenues with this energy trading, right? But we need to rely also on some capacity payments and, as you stated, some revenues generated from ancillary services, right? And the picture is more clear in countries like the UK, but in countries like Spain and Chile, there is some regulation being announced, but still we don't have the inputs, right? Next generation and subsidies will be a driver, right? In the early days of storage, so we are expecting some help, right? Because right now, we know it's going to happen as early as 2024. We are not considering in our business models anything coming in 2024 apart from what we just mentioned, 1.1 gigawatts. This is pure solar, right? But we might see some revenues coming from batteries as early as 2024, but the big year will be 2025. And this is what all the industry is considering, right? So this is, but we will keep you updating you every quarter on the evolution of the storage market. Because we are, one thing we are very sure is that it will be part of our core business in as early as 2024, 2025. And it will be very difficult to see just a pure PV plan. It will be PV and storage in some way, in most of cases, right? About your second question about CapEx, we remain where we were 2 months ago. We believe that we think that the peak is that the worst situation is over in logistics, right? It will take a few quarters to go back to normality, and this is affecting many other industries. We are now seeing a reduction of the prices of containers from China to Europe. They're still incredibly high, but let's talk about 10,000 euros per container when it used to be 2,000 before COVID. But we reached peak levels of 17,000-18,000 euros. So I think slightly we are looking at a steady reductions of prices. Still remain a very high prices from Asia to some countries in Latin America. But we are expecting also some reductions in next quarters. And prices of panels, I would say they remain kind of stable at levels of 28, maybe 29 US per watt. And we are getting forward prices slightly lower, 28, 27, if we deliver in Q1, Q2 next year. Let's see. I mean, it's hard to predict, right? We are now working with these levels of CapEx. We still believe that from Q3 this year, we will see some reductions in the price of panels and main components, right? But it will take a while. Okay. So this is our view on CapEx. If you need more information,
that is perfect. Thank you, David.
Okay. Thank you, Fernando. Have a good day.
Thank you, Fernando. Now I think we have another question from Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital. Jorge,
hi.
Hello. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Jorge.
I have two questions, if I might. So the first one is a clarification on this CapEx you just mentioned to Fernando. How would this translate into an overall capex cost per megawatt? I assume it's above 0.5 million per megawatt, but I would like to hear from you. Actually, there will be three questions. So this would be the first one. The second one is a clarification on batteries. Do you have any idea as of now how many hours in total the batteries can be operated? I mean, or how many usage cycles can be done, just to have an idea of the life cycle of a battery. And the third one is related to Spain. If it's possible to give us an update on the environmental permitting deadlines for the projects. You mentioned that you expect to receive for Tabernas and Ayora before April 2022, but April 2022 is the deadline, is the date that everyone is talking about as the major cutoff in Spain. So how do you see your own projects, and what do you expect will happen if the government will finally delay the deadline or not? So how do you see this situation unfolding over the next months? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jorge. Talking about CapEx, I think you're right. Maybe as a rule of thumb, you can talk about 600k per megawatt. But again, it's very difficult to compare apples with apples. I mean, a small project in Chile is always going to be more expensive because you have higher logistics, considering that you have to ship everything from China, from Europe, from Spain. And projects are smaller. The same situation in Colombia, but in Colombia, we're procuring part of the electrical and inverters and structures locally, right? So this is kind of helping, but you cannot compare that with our next project in Spain, 150 megawatts, very large project where everything is sourced locally and everything is made in Europe, right? Except the panels. So in those cases, we believe we can try to move down to 550, especially if we are starting construction in Q2 and we are shipping out panels and main components in Q2, Q3 next year. And small projects might be closer to 650. And I'm talking in dollar terms, not in euro terms. But this is our expectation. And this is where we are now. So we don't want to be over optimistic about this reduction in CapEx. We need to work with the current prices. And especially what we are expecting is that price of logistics will go down. Okay. Your second question about batteries. We might need a lot of time to understand. I'm sure all as we are doing all the analysis, it will require a lot of extra work to understand this industry and understand how all these capex translates into revenues. But just to give you some ideas, well, in countries like Chile, we are targeting a cycle of even 1.5 cycles per day. In countries like Spain, we will try to go above one cycle. And in the UK, we will be slightly below one cycle. That's obviously related to the PV associated PV plant. The resource in a typical plant in Spain that is generating pure PV 2,000 hours, if you get some four extra hours and you get it like, let's say 300 days per year, that's achievable for 4 hours, you can get some extra, you create a very different animal, right? It's from a plan of 2,000 hours to a plan of 3.2. And this extra 1,200 hours per year, you can get better price, and you can also get some capacity payments, and you can also, we hope we can get some ancillary services, and you can get some a reduction in capex due to next gen. We still don't have all the inputs, but we believe it's going to work, right? And we're targeting similar, if not slightly higher IRRs for our storage part of the business in countries like Spain. We will definitely keep giving you color quarter by quarter on this. And I'm sure you will one day, not far away from now, you will have many questions of the evolution of the price for megawatt hour, as you now are asking all the time about the price of panels, because it's gonna be a core business. About the DIS in Spain, we are stating in this slide that April 2022, this is the deadline for all the DIS. But to give you more clarification on the situation of our plants, Belinchón has the DIS already, right? So it's 150. In Tabernas in Almería, we're very close to obtaining them. We're talking about 6 plants of 50. I think we will get the first 3 in January and the second 3 in February. There is a big bottleneck in all administrations because they all have this deadline in April. But they're trying to release as many DIAs as possible. So we expect that in Tabernas we will get them in the first quarter before the deadline. And in our plan of Ayora, we believe, and according to our conversations, the path is quite clear, but we believe that the administration will deliver the DIAs at the end. Like many DIAs will be get delivering in April if this date is not changed. Then we have our largest plan in Spain, which is Clara Campoamor, 575, but we don't have this deadline in April because we have more time. So I think we will get the DIAs at the end of 2022, but we don't have this deadline because this project was submitted later on.
Okay.
Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jorge.
Perfect. Thank you, Jorge. Now we have Flora Tindale from CaixaBank.
Yes. Hi, Flora. Hi. Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the adjustment you made for installed capacity in 2021. So this 60 megawatts cut you mentioned in the logistic, can you be a bit more specific on the projects? I assume mostly in Chile, but if you can give them some color. And also, if you see the risks that as we get closer to the end of 2022, we might have again new adjustments, considering that there is a concentration of projects in the second half of the year. So just wondering if you can share your confidence with us on reaching the effective capacity additions you are putting in the slides. The second one is on this ongoing increase in CapEx and logistic issues. Can you give us an idea of how you see expected returns for future projects? So you are already seeing PPAs adjusting to this new reality. Can you just share your view here? And also finally, a follow-up on storage. So putting storage together with existing plants, can you give us an idea of what is the expected delta you are seeing in terms of IRRs? For the 24, 25 years that you were mentioning. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Flora. Okay, going to your first question. Well, this 60 megawatts delay, it's coming mainly from Chile. It's our expectation. This is coming mainly from Chile. We don't mean we are not going to deliver the plans. We just mean that those plans will get delivered in Q1 instead of Q4 2021. It's been quite challenging to find a space in the with the shipping companies, so particularly for panels. So that's the main, I think, the main reason why some of the projects are getting delays. And well, we believe that considering the very tough situation that we have faced concerning logistics, well, we believe we have never speculated, and we have tried to keep delivering as promised. At the end, is I think the effect will be minimized with just a delivery, a late delivery of one quarter for some of the projects in Chile and Spain, in Colombia. In Spain, we we were glad to deliver our 200 megawatts, which was the largest plan of the year on time. About the second half, about 2022, well, it's true that we will keep delivering PNGDs and distribution assets in Chile in Q1, Q2. We will start the first construction of our Belinchón plant of 150 as early as Q2. But it's true that we have a strong concentration of plants to get built in the second semester. Also, we have more projects. If you look at the slides that we shared with you before, we have close to 1 gigawatt of projects. It's more than what we need for our target of 800. So, let's see. We believe we're quite confident we can make it on 2022. We will keep you updating anyway. If one project gets delayed, we are talking about delayed of one quarter. I don't think it really has a strong effect on our business model if one plant gets connected one quarter instead of the other, right? But it's due. Q3, Q4. We will be very, very busy in construction. About the IRRs, due to higher capex, we obviously IRR returns are suffering in some cases, like everybody else. But it's true that now we are seeing some recovery of PPA prices. So to some extent, we are kind of compensating and recovering IRRs. Let's see now how the wave of capex, whether it goes down. So we might have a situation where we're now the PPAs we are announcing now for our next plants will be again in the high 30s, I think, for 12 years PPAs. And if we believe capex, we might go down in second semester next year. We might get again quite consistent IRRs back in eight countries like Spain, back in 8% project IRR, and the equity IRR will be much, much higher, because considering current capex, we are more talking about 6.57 IRR for project IRR, and around 10-11 equity IRRs, right? That's And about your last question about, just for storage, we have many missing inputs, right? So we still is hard. We're definitely targeting, if possible, higher IRRs than in more mature markets like PV generation, right? But it's still a bit early to say. But definitely we are targeting at least the same IRR that we are targeting for our generation business.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Flora. Now we have Fernando Lafuente from Alantra. Hello, Fernando.
Hello. ¿Qué tal? Buenos días. Three questions for me, please. The first one, David, is a follow-up on the PPAs. You said that you are negotiating, that the prices could be a little bit higher. Can you be a little bit more specific on the levels of prices that you are negotiating at this stage for the projects that you are developing in the latest stages of development? Sorry. The second one is on the build to sell division. Q3 was a bit weak. You are concentrating activity in Q4. What should we assume for this business going forward? What is your view on this build to sell business? What is the cruise speed that we should assume of megawatts developed and sold per annum on an average for the next few years? And the third question, it's on the pipeline. You are investing a good chunk of money in developing the pipeline. I don't know if you could give us like an indication or a reference of what would be the cost, investment cost of a project, okay, in all the stages of development when it reaches or when it gets to ready to build. I mean, just to try to compare, I mean, ready to build are being sold in the market, I mean, crazy figures, 100-something thousand euros per megawatt. What is your implicit cost in this development? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fernando, for the very interesting questions. PPAs, Well, we haven't always tried to be quite transparent. First, when we talk about PPAs, we always talk about 12 years PPAs in a country like Spain. To compare apples with apples, you need to compare the length of the PPA and the starting point of the PPA, right? What we are negotiating now, it's PPAs starting at the end of 2023, early 2024. So we might have some upside delivering energy merchant, full merchant, during a few quarters, right? And that's the situation for Tabernas. But just to give you a clear answer, well, Scudero's plant, we don't make, it's not public, the exact price, but it was in the high 30s, the one we are delivering. Bellingham plant, it was in the low 30s, and the one we announced, yeah. And the PPAs we are negotiating now, I would say they are in the mid-30s. And again, I'm talking about 12 years starting at the end of 2023, early 2024. If we were talking about shorter terms, maybe 10 years, starting sometime in early 2023, we might be looking at prices of 40 or even higher than 40. So that's the situation being very, very transparent. And we believe it's still the way, and we believe it's a better channel than auctions, for at least for us. And we are talking about investment grades in all cases. Second question about build to sell. We remain we've given the guidance between 100 and 200. That's a very wide to have a wide margin, right? This year we are so far we have delivered in Q2 55 megawatts in a deal in Chile, and well, it's no secret that we have two deals now coming up in Q4 that we might get close in the next quarter, in the next weeks. Well, it also we'll see. We have the transfer of one plant of 50 megawatts in Spain, Jose Cabrera plant, that we are in exclusivity, and we might close this deal before the end of the year. But it might happen that it will be moved to Q1. So, okay, we don't really think it will make a big difference, but it will make a difference in the yearly, but I think it will happen, whether it's in December or whether it's in January. And we have another package of PMGDs in Chile going on, and I think it's quite sure that we will announce this deal in early January. So at the end of this year, the final figure will be between 100 and I think 150. I think for the coming years, we will have a lot of possibilities for build and sell in countries like Colombia and Peru and even Chile, where we are very happy with what we have many more pipeline than what we need really to meet our IPP, our build to own targets. So this is giving us plenty of opportunities for build and sell. So the final figure could be higher than this 200 figure, but we will giving you more information quarter by quarter. And your final question was it's a very good question, because the development of cost is very different from one market to another. And countries like Spain, I would say is 10,000-15,000 euros per megawatt. It really depends a lot on again, whether you're talking about large projects or medium size or distribution projects, and whether you are outsourcing part of the development activity, working with consultants, or whether you're doing everything in-house. But just to give you a reference, is in Spain, we have a capex between 15, 20, including everything for a large plant. In Chile, I think we'll be quite similar in Chile, in between 20, 25, maybe slightly higher. Countries like Peru and Colombia is much cheaper to develop, so the final figure will be around 10,000. And countries like Italy in particular, it's a lot more expensive to develop. We're looking at numbers of 40, even 50K as the cost of capex for development, for greenfield development, because you need to work with local engineering firms, and the market is very very hot. And you know, so we're talking about 50, 60, in some cases, even 70 still is a very good deal because, as you know, and we are witnessing market prices of 150, even 200K for ready-to-build projects. So if you invest 50, 60, you're making a good investment. And we believe you're creating very good value investing in Greenfield in all the markets where we are.
Thank you so much, David. Very clear your answers. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Fernando.
Thank you, Fernando. Okay. Well, it is almost 10 minutes over the time. We have the very last question. I hope you just have one question, please. Alvaro from Mirabeau. Hello, Alvaro.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Just a quick question. In order to understand better your energy division results, could you give some breakdown about the energy results in these nine months in terms of EBITDA? And also, I would be very pleased if you could give some guidance about the gigawatts per hour you are forecasting for the next year on your operating assets. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, going to your first, very quickly, because we are a bit out of time, going to your first question, as I think we in one point of presentation, we stated that, so far, as you know, we have four operating assets. We have a plant of 100 megawatts north of Chile. We have two relatively small wind plants in Argentina and Peru. And we have a small plant of 35 megawatts operational in Mexico. We have now our 200 megawatts plant in Spain and some smaller assets in Chile, but we are considering revenues from Q4. About the sales of energy are at 13 million euros in 2020 so far in the first three quarters. This is increasing quarter by quarter, right? And the EBITDA, the gross money generated from those plants, it's we're talking about 9, so it's about 70% out of sales, right? This is mostly coming from I can give you the figures of I know Quillagua in the north of Chile is roughly close to 8 million, and the wind plants have generated around 2 million so far. Just keep in mind that the first quarters we were not showing those revenues because still was in the testing phase, so they were not reflected as revenues. Is lower capex, but we're talking about around 2 million in Duna Huambos plan in Peru and 2 million in Argentina, and the plan in Mexico just started to generate revenues in Q3, and it's still not very relevant. I mean it's slightly lower than half million euros. So that's the situation now. Situation will change dramatically now in from Q4 and particularly in Q1, where we reflect all these new plants coming up in Spain and in Chile and Colombia, right? So I think once we have our 600. Okay, we're talking about maybe it's hard to tell 600, 6 by 2, 3. Well, we might be talking about 2,000, 200 gigawatts of energy per year, right? So, sorry, 2 terawatts of energy per year. So that can give you an idea of the level of revenues that we can generate next year. But at the end of the year, we will be in a much higher level in run rate terms, considering that we will keep incorporating plants quarter by quarter.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so thank you for your time. I think that we have already 15 minutes. So if you have more questions, please feel free to us, to the investor relations team, and we will answer you directly.
Okay, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.